And a couple of weeks ago, as you remember, I was teaching from Acts chapter 3. We were looking at the man that was laid at the temple gate. And as Peter and John went up to pray, they saw this man sitting at the gate, and they ministered to this man in the name of Jesus. And that's what we were looking at, that theme of the name of faith in the name of Jesus. I want to continue where I left off last time. So the other brothers have already got Acts chapter 3 on the screen. So Acts 3 verse 16 says this, because Peter began to teach and proclaim what was happening and what the people could see, because they realized that this was the man that was sat at the beautiful gate. And they said this, Peter said this, he says, and his name, talking about Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter said that the reason the man had been healed and was able to walk and run and leap and jump was because there was his faith in the name of Jesus. Now, Peter used the name of Jesus. The other apostles used the name of Jesus. They put their faith in it. And Peter actually went on to say, and we read this last week, in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 4, and verse 10, he says, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. So again, he reiterated what he said to the people that were listening. He proclaimed it to the council after they'd been arrested. And he says, look, it's through faith in the name of Jesus that this man stands before you whole. And then verse 12, he went on, a most important verse in this chapter. Because he says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. The name of Jesus is powerful. That's why the apostles preached that we should put their faith in. We just read about Peter. In Acts chapter 8, we read of Philip. Now, we're going to look at this chapter as we go down to the beach, because this is the chapter where Philip baptized the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. But before Philip was called away to meet the eunuch in the desert place, he was in Samaria preaching. And it says here in chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when they, that's the people of Samaria, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So Peter proclaimed faith in the name of Jesus, talking about the name of Jesus. Now, have you ever wondered, or have you stopped to think, that it's the name, it's only the name of Jesus that people use to curse? They don't use Buddha or Muhammad. It's only Jesus' name. You don't hear people say things like, oh my Muhammad.
No.
Because there's no power in the name of Muhammad.
Yeah.
The power is in the name of Jesus. That's why the devil's trying to belittle it and use it as a curse word. There's power in Jesus' name. Come with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. I want you to see a scripture here. Now this is my opinion. I'm not going to use this as a doctrine. This is my opinion. based on the fact that punctuation was not included in the original language. In Mark 16, verse 17, this is the Great Commission. This is where Jesus taught and told us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he adds in verse 17, now I'm going to read it as it's written in the scriptures, and then I'm going to just change it around a little bit. It says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now, I want to suggest this morning, and reiterate, this is my opinion, this is not anything I'm saying, this is as I've received it as of from God or anything like this, but I think the punctuation here is in the wrong place. Because after believe, in my Bible, it gives a comma, a colon. We can go back to verse 17, please, Gerald. And it's got it on here as well. There's a colon after the word believe. I'm going to suggest that we move the colon after the word name.
That's right.
Because then it would read like this. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, the faith is in the name of Jesus. That's what Peter preached. That's what Philip preached. Let's just look at some of those the scriptures. I've got them because of the sake of time. I've got them printed out in front of me, so I don't have to turn them up. I can continue next week, anyway, yes. And the brothers are going to put them on the screen for me. But if you can give me Acts 4, verse 30. Because when we use the name of Jesus, what actually happens, the power of God is released to meet the need. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. So if you believe in my name, the power will be released to meet the need. You'll cast out demons. Now, you're not doing it yourself. It's because you're believing and using the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, demons are cast out. In the name of Jesus, we speak with new tongues. In the name of Jesus, they take up serpents. That doesn't mean you can go around and handle snakes and things. Or you can drink poison, just as though you're going to test the Lord. No, no, don't do that. Do you know, many times, tradition tells us that they tried to kill and poison and the disciples of Jesus. You know, but because you have the classic case in the case of Paul when he came to Malta, when the serpent bit him, he didn't take the snake off and say, "Look," he says, he was just doing what he needed, put his hand out, and the serpent clasped onto him. And then there was a scripture tells us in Acts 20 that they were expecting him to die. The Maltese are a friendly bunch, but, you know, they upset them. But they were expecting him to die. But when he didn't die, why? Because Paul believed in the name of Jesus. And that serpent had no power over him. So a snake bit him. So here's a scripture that in Acts chapter 4, the same scripture we were in. Acts 4 verse 30, Peter went to prayer after they threatened them never to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. Why would they do that? Why would they say, don't preach or teach in the name of Jesus if there was no power in that name? And then Peter and the church went to prayer and they said, "Lord, grant your servant's boldness." It says, by stretching out your hand to heal. that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Through Jesus' name, they prayed that the Lord would minister to heal, that signs and wonders would be performed. They weren't building a church. They weren't building a gathering. They were proclaiming the name of Jesus. I like this one because I can just picture these two. You know the disciples, James and John. They were described by Jesus as the sons of thunder. You know, and they had a mother as well that was a little forceful, and she came to Jesus one day and said, "Lord, I want you to grant my two boys, one to sit on your right hand and one to sit on your left." So she was a little forceful. But John, in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, verse 38 and verse 39, John said to Jesus one day, he says, John answered Jesus saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us." And Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me." So these miracles were being done in the name of Jesus. Now they weren't part of the disciples, the little group that followed Jesus. This was somebody else, but they were doing it in Jesus' name. John writes in John 20, verse 31, he makes a statement for the whole reason for writing the Gospel of John, for penning these scriptures. He puts it down in John 20, verse 31, and he says that these are written, all the signs and all the miracles that Jesus did, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There's life in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There are miracles for every situation in the name of Jesus. There's life in the name of Jesus. And just one more for now, just to close, just to wrap up this little bit. Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And you'll know these scriptures, I quote them very frequently. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter began to explain to the household of Cornelius that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. And he began to tell about Jesus, and he says in verse 30, he says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It says that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then as he continued, come down to verse 42. He says, and he commanded, still talking about Jesus, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So these apostles, they proclaim the name of Jesus. Now, how many of you know of John Wesley? A few. I've heard of John Wesley. John Wesley was an Anglican Church of England minister who had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. He was the founder of Methodism. He broke away from the Anglican Church and set up what we now know as the Methodist Church. But many people have heard of John Wesley, but how many people have heard of his brother Charles? Some of the older ones may have done. Charles Wesley was a man, his brother, John and Charles Wesley. John was the preacher, Charles was the songwriter. He wrote about 6,500 hymns in his time. And he captured, one of his hymns, he captures this thing about the name of Jesus. And he said this, a very well-known hymn. It says, "Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given, it scatters all their guilty fear, it brings them peace of heaven. You know, the name of Jesus brings the peace of God right into the situation. You know, the power of God into the situation, which is why we're told in the scriptures that we should ask and pray in the name of Jesus. We believe in the name of Jesus. And that Jesus promised us that when we ask in his name, that we would receive what we're asking for. When we ask in Jesus' name, we will receive what we're asking for. Now, that doesn't just mean, I want to reiterate this, it doesn't just mean that we just add the name of Jesus to the end of our prayer. Because you can pray a wrong prayer and still add the name of Jesus to it. That doesn't mean you're going to get the prayer answered. Because if you're praying wrong, you're asking for the wrong things, God's not going to honor the prayer, even though you pray it in the name of Jesus. But it's that you've got to put your total faith and confidence in Jesus' name. So you know what you're praying. So you have that, like Pastor was talking about earlier on, that abiding in the vine. That remaining in the vine, staying attached to the vine. So the life can flow through you. Let's just go to a couple of scriptures and I'll finish with these this morning. So I've got to keep it short because we need to get down and baptize the brother. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, and God willing, I'll continue with this theme next Sunday as well. So, John 14, we're just going to read half a dozen verses from John 14 and then from John 16, again, talking about the name of Jesus again. So, John 14, verse 12, let's just listen to these words. Do you remember I told you that a couple of weeks ago that this chapter, John 14, John 15, John 16, was spoken on the night that Jesus sat down with his disciples to break bread together, they ate the Passover supper. It was the night that Jesus was arrested, the day before he was falsely accused and tried and crucified. And he sat down with his disciples and he began to prepare them for what was about they were about to face. That weekend, that long weekend, where their whole world was just about to fall apart. And Jesus said to them these words. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Then listen to this, verse 13. He says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." There's the condition, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then he says, verse 40, he says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Wow. When we believe in the name of Jesus, and we ask in his name, with our faith and our confidence in his name, Jesus says, there's not anything that will be withheld from you. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, as I said, you've got to satisfy the conditions. If you're asking for wrong motives or you're asking for wrong things, then you can't expect the Lord to answer that prayer. It's got to be that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then Jesus, in chapter 16, just as he was wrapping up his teaching to his disciples, verse 23, John 16, 23. He says, "In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say," you know, when you see these words from Jesus, Jesus says, "most assuredly," or if you've got the old King James Version, it'll say, "verily, verily," or another translation might say, "truly, truly." Take take note of what Jesus is saying here. Because he says, look, he says, I am assuring you of this very thing. So most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. They hadn't asked for anything in Jesus' name up until that point. But he says, look, he says, ask, and you'll receive. Ask, and your joy will be made full. That's why Peter could confidently, as he was going up to the temple with John, and that man looked at him and he looked at him and he says, give me something, give me some money. And Peter looked at him, and I like this the scripture. Actually, let's just go to Acts chapter 3, and I'll finish with this. Verse 4. Says, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. As I told you last week, you know, this man got excited. It says, verse 5, it says, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now he was expecting, the wrong thing. As I told you, he was expecting money, he was expecting some change, he was expecting a little bit of help. But Peter was about to give him the one thing that he really needed. Then Peter said, just to burst this man's bubble that he was building up. He said, silver and gold I do not have. Can you just imagine this man at the gate? You know, he's got his hopes, his expectations have risen, he's wow, I'm going to get something. And then Peter says, look, I haven't got anything to give you. I haven't got silver, I haven't got gold. But he says, what I do have, I give you. And here comes Peter's faith. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Now, the man heard those words, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I am convinced this man knew who Jesus Christ was. Because Jesus, no doubt, passed by that temple, that gate, many times. And news would have spread around about him anyway. And then it says, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And then he stood up, leaping up, walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. The Father says he was praising God, that he was giving glory to the Father. The Father was glorified in the Son. And Peter knew that when he ministered in Jesus' name, that man would receive his strength. Why? Because of faith in the name of Jesus. Now, as I said, I'll continue this next Sunday, God willing. And we'll just look at a little bit, looking at the greatness of the name of Jesus next week. So we'll leave it there for now. God bless.